What is up, everybody? We are back, week 11. This is the Trial Run Podcast. You know the deal. Brennan, we're back to normal, kind of. Not recording on a normal day today. We got our Sunday special for the Masters, and we are here after, a week after, actually. We had our guest co-host, my little brother, Josh. And Brennan listened to the podcast. We got some good reviews. Josh got some good reviews in particular on how he did on last week's podcast. And Brennan would like to speak his piece on this because he doesn't want to be replaced and he doesn't want people thinking that Josh is better than him. So I'll let you take this away because I know you have something to say about this. And go at it.
Well, first and foremost, I'd just like to thank Josh for filling in for me last week. He did an admirable job, so thank you again. But just a couple things I'd like to put out there. When you and Josh, Nate, were talking about hockey, especially with your UP accents, it made me want to lather myself in maple syrup and ride a moose through a winter blizzard just with how Canadian you guys sounded, so I appreciated that very much.
I think that's a compliment. Thank you very much.
And next, I love Josh's expert analytical approach to why Auburn beat UNC in the Elite Eight game. He said they won because of adrenaline and heart, which is an expert take right there with lots of analytical opinions.
I mean, you're not going to win games without heart. I mean, are you? You tell me.
I don't know. I was hoping for a couple more numbers thrown into that approach as opposed to just adrenaline and heart. But
I mean, he just operates on raw emotion and talent, so he doesn't need numbers.
And finally, and more seriously, Josh, if you ever slip up and call my beloved team the Michigan Wolverines again, I will personally come up to the UP and slap you in the face. So never do that one ever again.
Yeah, the UP is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for all you uncultured folks out there, just so we set that record straight. Today, we're going to do what we talked about at the end of last week's episode. We asked you, the audience, to go onto our questionnaires link on our Instagram and Twitter pages, ask us questions that we could answer on this podcast here today.
And you guys came out in spades, by the way.
Oh, came out all over the place, all over the map. We got lots of questions. We got a couple different categories that we are going to address. We want to get this all done in the first segment so we can get to our sports talk and start talking Masters, basketball, the whole nine yards. So let's just dive right into it right now. Our three categories that we were able to pick out of our questions: personal questions, ridiculous, stupid questions that those are going to be our favorites. We know that. That's going to be our personal favorites to answer. And then finally, actual sports questions. So let's get started. We'll go with two personal questions right off the bat. We're going to start with, why did you guys choose to start a podcast?
Really, I think it just boils down to the fact that we love sports. I can speak for both of us when I say that. And we listen to ESPN. We listen to all the talk shows. And I think that we thought we could do just as good, if not better, of a job.
I know we can do a better job.
That's right. And we just have a lot of things we'd like to say, hot takes that I think other people would like to hear. And it's fun for us, regardless of if people like it or not. I think it's just a fun activity that we can do every week. And so that's why we started it. That's my opinion. Yeah. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, personally, this is just something that we love talking about sports. We have a lot of knowledge that we want to get out to the masses. And on top of that, this is something that helps us get us through the college life because every single week we know that we have this to look forward to. So something like that, or something like this, rather, gets us through college, gets us talking about sports, and maintains our love for the game because, I mean, we do still love the game regardless of, I mean, we're not playing it anymore, obviously, for obvious reasons. We're not very athletic.
We're amazing.
Second personal question, what is our sports background?
Speaking of
not playing anymore, what is our sports background? I'll let you take this away because you were a little bit more successful in high school athletics than I was.
Of course, I have to start back to my kindergarten days. I was the league champion. I think we were the Green Tigers was our team name, and we were just the talk of the town back in kindergarten. And I worked my way up until third grade. That's when I started playing football, which is the love of my life. I've played that all the way through middle school and into high school. Pretty good team my senior season. You already know how I feel about that.
I mean, they went 9-1 and they lost their last game. So.
But 9-0 in the regular season, that's all that matters. Conference champs both years, and I was a conference player of the year. I had to shout that out because I knew you wouldn't for me.
Yeah, I would never. I couldn't. It couldn't be me.
Oh, and I also dabble in basketball when I get the chance.
Yeah, he plays IM. Congratulations. I played football in high school, I mean, with limited success.
Limited. Emphasis on the limited.
I wrestled in high school and also played baseball, limited success in those also, but I just love all three of those sports and just sports in general, so I believe that playing all three of those sports in high school kind of directly translated to just my love for pretty much any game that involves any kind of competition. We're going to move on to the stupid, ridiculous questions.
Our favorites.
Our favorites. And for all you Office fans out there, that is The Office with Steve Carell, all the other cast, John Krasinski, Rainn Wilson. A lot of people love that show. We do too. We have a couple of questions directly linked to that show, with the first question being, who's your worm guy?
What an excellent question.
That's a great question. And we're going to let the late, great Creed Bratton take over right now and answer that question for you.
What? No, I could get a fish for a 5-cent worm.
Oh, you're paying way too much for worm, man. Who's your worm guy?
Well, I really couldn't have put it better myself, to be honest. That is words of wisdom right there.
Our second question, still related to The Office. I'm going to direct this one at you, Brennan. Why are you the way that you are?
That's far too philosophical of a question for me. My brain can't handle that level of comprehension. I don't even know why I am the way that I am. I think you can speak a little bit better on the way I am.
I'm having just an absolute stroke right now. I'm trying to follow this question, and I can't. So I'm going to move on, and I'm just going to say that I don't even know how to answer that, so we'll leave it at that. On to the couple of actual sports questions. We're going to lead off with one that I know Josh asked because I know on the podcast last week he loved to talk hockey and he wants us to talk hockey more. So the question is, why don't we talk hockey more? And I'm going to let you take this one away because I know you have something to say about this.
The fact of the matter is, Josh, and for everyone else who wants hockey on this podcast, no one cares about hockey. It's just the fact of the matter. I remember we were talking the other day earlier this week in our room 318. Shout out to those boys. And someone, I believe it was you, who said that they didn't even realize, but hockey playoffs had actually started this week, and none of us had known about it, because guess what? No one cares. Hockey's just not that big of a deal, and we have bigger and more important things to report in sports.
So I'm not going to take it that far, but I'm just going to take it to the level where I say that I am not familiar with hockey enough where I can watch a game, break it down, analyze it to any depth. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to say that I don't believe that I'm qualified to make any kind of opinions on that game because I simply don't know enough about it. Second question on this actual sports topics, who wins the Masters and why? The Masters happening this weekend. As we're recording this podcast right now, we're about to go into the Sunday. Hopefully we'll see Tiger Sunday red. He's currently tied for second, I believe. Lots of good stuff going on in that tournament. So who were your picks originally to win this tournament? And now that you've seen how it's developed over the last couple of days, who are your front runners going into Sunday?
So my original pick, who does actually still have a chance, he shot 4 under today, so he's sitting pretty, but I had Ricky Fowler originally. He's at 7 under, shot 4 under today. He's doing great. Regardless, he's had a strong showing at the Masters, which is impressive, and he's looking for his first major win ever, so that would be awesome. And in terms of who could win it now, really, Tiger, as much as that's a fan favorite, Tiger played awesome today. He could win this thing tomorrow. I know I'd love to see that if Ricky doesn't win. So I'm going to go with Tiger. I know Finau had a strong showing today. And
Finau shot 8 under, which is absolutely absurd.
Yes, but my only concern with Finau is that he didn't shoot great the first 2 days, so maybe yesterday was just an anomaly. We'll see if it carries over to tomorrow, but my money's on Tiger.
So my original picks going into this, I had Brooks Koepka. I was looking at him. He seems to show up in a lot of these majors. He's still in it, hanging tight. He's right at the top. I believe he's tied for second with Tiger Woods also. Maybe 1 stroke back. I think he's minus 10. So Brooks Koepka is still hanging tough. Another one that I was looking at, Jon Rahm, who has not yet won a major, I don't believe, but he is still looking for his first major, hanging tough right now.
Ugly boy.
Sitting at the top of the pack. Yeah, very ugly. You hate to see that, but he's a tremendous golfer. So
he needs this one.
He really needs this to boost his confidence. So I'll take those two guys. And going into Sunday, I mean, you got to ride the hot hand. So I'm going to go Tony Finau, the guy that I think is going to be kind of make a splash tomorrow. To shoot a -8 on Saturday, that shows that he is in it to win it. And he's ready to go make a splash on Sunday, hopefully.
Very impressive.
Very impressive. We're going to go back to the top. We're going to go back to some more personal questions.
Are we?
I guess we are. The third question on our list of personal questions. Did sports impact what you chose as a major in college, as well as what college you went to?
Not at all. No.
For those of you that don't know about Central Michigan University athletics, if you did know, you would certainly know that we did not choose to come here because of the renowned athletic program.
It's not the cream of the crop in terms of sports. So we definitely did not come here because of that. And as for the major aspect of it, Nate and I are both majoring in business, and we're both undecided as to what we're specifically going to go into. Probably not anything related to sports, but you know, maybe it'll turn into that someday. Or if this podcast takes off, hint, hint to the fans, keep those listening numbers up. We'll see, but it had nothing to do with our college decision.
No,
I can say that.
No, certainly not. I mean, you kind of said it best, so we'll move on to the next question. Where are you both from, and tell the listeners a little bit about your hometowns? I know we touched on this a little bit over the time of our episodes, so I'm going to let you go ahead because I know you're very proud of your hometown, as am I, but, you know, I'll let the little brother go after it.
Shout out to the 616 Grand Rapids, East Grand Rapids more specifically. What a quaint, beautiful town that I know, Nate, you had the privilege of visiting the other
day. I had the privilege of seeing it about 2 weeks ago for the very first time, and I got to tell you, it looks like every other suburban America town that I've ever seen. Kind of average, if you ask me.
No, see, we pride ourselves in hard work, football. Our nickname is Gumption Town.
Gumption Town.
You know how we do. We're full of gumption, and we just love to go at it. So shout out and roll Nears.
Shout out to the 906. I'm from Newberry, Michigan. Very small town, less than 1,000 people, or about 1,000 people.
If you've never heard of it, you're not alone.
Yeah, very rural. Not a whole lot going on. Got a lot of trees, a lot of lakes. If you love that stuff, if you love hunting, fishing, you're going to love being up there. I personally love it, and I think that it kind of made me who I am today. So I'm gonna give the town itself credit.
Sentimental.
And, very sentimental here on the Trial Run podcast today. For all you UP gangers out there, you know what I'm talking about. Third stupid question. Right back to the office. If you had a gun with two bullets and were in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Toby Flenderson, what would you do?
I think both of us would be remiss to say that we wouldn't shoot Toby Flenderson. I think that we'd be doing Michael a disservice by not.
And I think you'd be doing a disservice right now by not saying we'd shoot Toby Flenderson twice with both bullets. Because if you don't, then you've obviously never seen the show, and you don't know just how bad Toby Flenderson really is.
Amen to that.
The fourth question in the stupid category. I'm assuming this one came out of the EGR because I know nobody in God's country in the 906 would ask this question. If you could be one of the Powerpuff Girls, which one would you be? Blossom, Bubbles, or Buttercup?
Buttercup is my homie. She is a very angsty and, you know, angry looking chick just like me, you know, how I do.
Yeah,
so Buttercup is my gal. I'm definitely going with Buttercup.
I mean, I would take Buttercup, but I don't want to take the same one you took, so I'm going to take Bubbles, I guess. It's kind of got the double B thing going in the middle of the
Bubbles. Bubbles suits you very nicely.
I have no idea what it is, where it is. I've never seen the show, so I'm going to go Bubbles. But whoever asked that question, get your game up, guy. We're going to go right back to the actual sports questions. This one I know came from my main man, BJ, down at U of M, Ann Arbor. Shout out you, BJ. What is your take on the state of officials and officiating across all sports? We're going to disagree on this one, so just go ahead.
So I remember, again, we had a conversation in 318 the other day about how I had voiced some of my opinions about how officials recently, it seemed, were blowing calls at the end of games or just not showing up in performances. And I think our main man, Ben Zeitler, shout out to him, said that maybe it's not to do with the fact that that's been happening more recently, but more to the fact that I've just been maturing as a sports fan and have been noticing it more recently. So really, I think I'm too young to know the difference. But to me personally, I've noticed an uptick in poor officiating. It just seems that we've seen a lot of events, such as the NFC Championship game,
Virginia game.
Yep, the double dribble. And then, of course, JT was short, the biggest one of all. We're just, the officials have missed calls at the end of games. And to me, it's disappointing. I think that they are leaving something on the table and leaving something to be desired.
Well, I'd like to let the record show that I do not think JT was short. I think that was the correct call, correct spot. I said that at the moment, and I'll stick to it right now.
He was short.
He was certainly not. But I'll say this. I always like to give officials the benefit of the doubt, which is why I'm going to say that the state of officials right now is that people need to lay off, because right now, all across the country, especially in high school sports, we're going through an officiating crisis where we're not getting enough people to officiate the games that we love so much. So I think people need to lay off, give them a chance to do their jobs. And I would also like to say that of all the things that you mentioned them because they happened at the end of game in big games. And I would like to say that I think the officials make the correct call 90, 95% of the time. They do a great job.
That's false.
They do a great job the majority of the time. And the only reason people, the only reason people scoff at those calls is because they come in big moments and they've been relatively isolated incidents.
If your average Joe Schmo in some office job messed up as many times as an official in sports messes up, then they would be fired immediately. So why shouldn't referees be held to the same standard? That's my only question.
I would say because officials or willing officials who are willing to go in there and do that job are probably much more likely to come by.
You're acting like
than
they're
your average
acting
Joe
like,
Schmo in the office.
You're acting like they're like military men, like, oh, they're putting their life on the line for this job.
They're not putting their life on the line, but they're certainly putting their pride on the line. They're putting, their image on the line because everybody goes after them. And it's a cutthroat industry because you got fans coming at your neck every single time you make an incorrect call or even a call that doesn't go the way of a fan or that a fan wants it to. So
we'll let the fans decide at home on this one.
I guess we will. So the final question that I want to answer from this category right now, from the sports category, this had to have come from one of your godforsaken Bears fan family members or whoever.
That's a cousin question right there.
This year, who will the Bears play in the Super Bowl and by how many points will the Bears win by?
I'm telling you what, the Bears have a legitimate shot this year. This is not as far-fetched of a question as it seems. I'm not saying the Bears are going to. They're definitely not going to be my pick. But Trubisky is a good player. They've got Khalil Mack on defense. They've got some solid players there. I know they lost Jordan Howard recently, but really the Bears are a solid team. They're probably going to be the team that comes out of the NFC North. So that's really their division to lose, at least in my opinion. I know as much as Detroit fans, we don't want to hear that, but it's true. So don't count the Bears out, but I don't know about Super Bowl. We'll see.
Well, really, right now, I believe it's the Lions division to lose, as it is every year. So I'm going to say, barring a catastrophic failure by the Detroit Lions, that I don't even think the Bears are going to make it out of the division. I think the Lions are going to go 15-1, 16-0, somewhere in there. So, Super Bowl, try winning your own division first, pal. We're going to go back to the top. We got our final two personal questions. This one's directly at you. Brennan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss your sister Bridget? And I know she asked this.
Bridget, I miss you so much. Come home from Spain. That's an 11. I'll give you an 11 for that one. I know you're going straight to Wisconsin as soon as you come home, which is dumb, but shout out, Bridget. We miss you. Everyone misses you, except not that much, so I'm just kidding.
And the last one. At what age did you both become such sports nuts?
I remember vividly. I was 8 years old. It was 2008. My dad brought me to a Michigan Northwestern football game, and it was terrible conditions, rainy, sleety, all of that. And this was the season that Rich Rod was introduced to Michigan football. So they were a 3-9 team playing against another crappy Northwestern team, and it was just a terrible game overall going into the third quarter. And my dad was like, hey, do you want to just leave because this is terrible? And I said, no way, we're sticking this out for the whole thing. And from that moment on, I was just a huge sports fan, all sports, especially Michigan, and I've never looked back.
I didn't know Michigan was a sport. That's crazy.
It is. Michigan is a sport.
No, that's bizarre.
It's a lifestyle.
That's bizarre. I don't know. I for as long as I can remember, I guess since I came out of the womb, because I really have no idea. I remember vividly watching the Tigers games on Sunday afternoons, watching Lions football, Red Wings hockey, Pistons basketball, Detroit sports, college sports, the whole nine yards. So I remember playing sports in the yard all the way back to a young age, having Apple home run derbies with wiffle bats over the road.
That is the most UP thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'll have to show you sometime. It's great. So I remember going all the way back to that. So I'm going to say forever for as much as I can remember. We're going to move into our final three ridiculous questions. This one was asked apparently by a specific player from Duke. I don't, what was he, number one or something like that?
Something
projected
like that.
To go pretty high in the NBA draft. Anyway, can I pretty please be on your podcast was the question.
Signed who?
Signed Zion Williamson.
You'll never hear that name again on this podcast. Well, Zion, no, you cannot. Frankly, if Zion Williamson actually said, hey, do you want to, can I be on your podcast? If he DM'd our Instagram page somehow, I would have serious doubts about putting him on this podcast simply because of the hatred I have for this man. So I don't know. What do you think about this, Nate?
Hatred's a strong word.
Ooh, there's hatred. Just simply, it's not his fault. I'll give him that. It is ESPN's fault and CBS and all those other news networks. But that's, I just can't stand the man.
Hatred's a strong word, like I said. But in regards to the question, absolutely not. This is a question, I believe, coming from another one of your friends. How heavy is the average cumulus cloud in pounds?
1.1 million pounds. I've done my research.
That is a rookie question. If you're going to ask us a question that we can't just look up on Google and get a simple numerical answer.
He's right.
Get your numbers up. Last question, more of a comment, actually. I don't know who wrote this, but this is just a tremendous point on their part. Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X collab, Old Town Road. That's the question.
Definitely my cousin again, Cooper. Shout out to you. It's really, I had my doubts about this song at first. It sounded kind of weird, and it's just like a funky thing mixing country and rap, but it's really brought the nation together. I think it's something we can all get behind, and frankly, I've been enjoying it more and more recently.
Frankly, I think it ended racism.
Yes, there you go.
It's done a great job of uniting the entire country as a whole.
You want a hot take? There you go.
It's tremendous. We have one more question before the break, and it is an actual sports question, and I want to get this out of the way right this instant. If I can find the question. And that question is, why should I listen to this podcast when Brennan's god-awful tournament bracket is in the 5.9 percentile on ESPN.com?
Well, sweetie, I'm sure this is coming from one of my friends back at home. How about you look at my other brackets, because I have about four that are in the 80th percentile and about two that are in the 90th percentile. So the numbers don't lie. I had one bad bracket, so you can't blame me. You know, when you're in this profession, sometimes you make some mistakes, and I've made the terrible mistake of putting my faith in the ACC in that bracket. I had three ACC teams in that bracket, so I guess that was my own fault. But look at the numbers don't lie. Look at my other brackets.
Yeah, that's my main man, Brennan, over here refuting that argument. If you come for the throne, you best not miss.
Bet.
We're done for the first segment. We'll see you in a minute. This is the Trial Run Podcast. Segment two, we're back. Trial Run Podcast, you know the deal. I misspoke earlier. Brennan pointed this out to me over the break. In my haste, I said that we would complete all of the questions in the first half, in the first segment. So I was wrong. We have many more questions to be answered, except all of these are about sports topics that we find particularly intriguing. So we want to take a little bit more time to expand on these. And I would just like to say thank you for pointing out my mistake.
I really, like, if I wasn't here, what would you even be doing with yourself?
That's a great question. This would be definitely an absolute train wreck.
I'm really sorry for the folks at home that they had to listen to that in the first half of the podcast.
Just pure nonsense.
That's pathetic.
So a couple of these questions. I shouted out BJ earlier, my main man. He proposed a lot of questions to us, more than just the official question earlier.
Good questions, too.
Yes, but like I said, much more than just the officiating question earlier. He has a lot of questions about the college football playoff, and we're going to combine two of his questions. The first one being, what is your way too early college football playoff and champion? So a spinoff of that, what we're going to do with that question is, we're going to turn that into discussing an 8-team potential college football playoff and the pros and cons of expanding the current 4-team playoff system to an 8-team playoff system. So I'll let you start with your way too early college football playoff and champion.
So as my 1 and 2 seeds, it's boring, but I have to do it. I'm going to go with Alabama and Clemson simply because they've just been dominating programs the past couple of years. And then I would also want to put Georgia at 3, but I'm not going to just because that's too boring for me. So I'm going to say at 3, you're going to have the winner between Texas and Oklahoma, that Red River rivalry, so whoever wins that game. And then for the 4th seed, I'm going to have the winner of the game, Michigan and Ohio State. So we're going to see a Big 12 team, a Big 10 team, and then, you know, a couple ACC and SEC. Yes. We're going to get the mix of all the teams in there.
What I've learned over this college football playoff time is that it seems like there's always two SEC teams right in that mix. So with that being said, my top 3 teams are going to be very boring, but I have Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia right at the top. I know Georgia's losing a lot of talent this year, a lot of running back depth, things like that. but I'm going to say that they're going to be good enough to make it into that third spot in the college football playoff. So the top's not going to change much. In that fourth spot, I have to put Ohio State. I have seen nothing from Michigan over the recent years that suggests that they're going to be anywhere close to that level. Ohio State just seems to be head and shoulders above them as a program. So I'm going to say Ohio State in my fourth seed. You're shaking your head.
No more Urban Meyer. They're going to suck.
You're shaking your head. They're not going to suck.
Justin Fields, who is that? Like
Justin Fields, of course, the transfer from Georgia.
He's no Shea Patterson.
Okay. Okay, very, very good. Thank you for the analysis. And from that, I want your champion. Who are you going to take as your champion out of that?
Alabama's going to come back with a vengeance, which I hate. I pray that I'm wrong with this prediction because I cannot stand seeing Alabama continue to win year in and year out. But they're coming back with a vengeance. They're going to win this year.
I'm going to take Clemson as the repeat champion. This is so boring. This is terrible.
This is terrible.
This is actually terrible.
College football, you really need to get your stuff together.
College football is in a state right now where we can't even have a quality discussion about the playoffs because we're pretty sure that we know who is going to be in there at the end of the year. I'm going to take Clemson. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence, Dabo Sweeney, that whole gang. I'm going to take them. They're going to repeat. That's just what they're going to do.
I know something that might fix the playoff picture, though, if we expand it.
That's a great segue. Boom. What a tremendous, that's a professional-grade segue right there.
You like that.
So I'll let you take over right now. Discuss that 18 potential college football playoff, the pros and cons.
So actually, Nate is the one who convinced me on his input on how the 18 college football playoff should work. So basically how it would work is we'd eliminate divisions within conferences and we'd eliminate the conference championship game and you just have the winner from each conference based off standings go. So for the Power 5 teams, that's five champions right there. And then you'd have two at-large bids and one group of five champion. So really that would encompass everyone that you'd need to have and it wouldn't be as biased with that championship game because a lot of things can happen in that championship game. For example, this year's Big Ten championship was between Ohio State and Northwestern, and you'd be foolish to say that Northwestern is the second best team in the Big Ten, but if they had won if the conference championship game determined who would go to the playoff and Northwestern somehow won that game, that would be foolish. So we're just going to eliminate it completely and have the best team in the conference go.
In my opinion, the only way that conference championship games would even be remotely relevant is if you eliminated divisions in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it's foolish to have divisions because you're going to, much like the Big Ten, you have a loaded East division and an absolutely terrible West division. So just that in itself, and I've put a lot of thought into this 18 college football playoff. So like Brennan said, I think we should eliminate divisions, eliminate conference championship games, just go with the regular season, the best team from the regular season in that conference, and you're going to give the Power 5 conferences automatic bids. So the five best teams in the regular season from the five Power 5 conferences will go to the college football playoff. You're going to have one group of five team, which is very important to me. You can still rank these teams. You can still put them in their AP rankings, whatever you want to do to determine what you think the relevance of this is. But I think that you need to put a group of five conference champion in the college football playoff to give group of five teams an incentive to keep playing. Because at this point, everybody knows what's happened with University of Central Florida over these last couple of years. They have been an absolutely exceptional football program and largely have gotten no love from the selection committee. If that team is not going to make it to the college football playoff, then it's completely pointless to have any of the group of five conferences even stay in Division One.
It's true.
Separate them. Let them have their own national champion. If you're not going to let them play for their own national, if you're not going to let them play for the Division One national championship as the college football playoff committee has all obviously stated by not putting UCF in that top four. So like I said, make sure the group of five gets some love, and then you're going to have two at-large bids, which, to be honest, more than likely will be Power 5 teams.
Yeah, it will be.
So in all reality, you're going to have seven Power 5 teams in the college football playoff with one group of five team.
That's fair.
And I'd love to see that because since coming to a mid-major university, and like Central Michigan University, I really value getting my group of five teams and my smaller schools some love.
Look, the fact of the matter is, no matter what system they go with for the college football playoff, no one's going to be completely happy. It's impossible to satisfy everyone. And I know a concern with what we're saying for a lot of people would be that, you know, if there's a really stacked conference one year, maybe you're not going to get the representation that you'd like since you only have your conference championship coming out and then there's only two at-large bids. But the fact of the matter is you have those two at-large bids, so you still have a shot, even if you don't win your conference. And this way, everyone is equally represented. You've got your group of five team. You've got everyone from each conference. And we're really able to see from across the country who truly is the best team.
Another common thing that I think that people are going to struggle with is the scheduling part of this, because there's a lot of conferences with a lot of different teams in there, and you want to try to truly get the best representative from the conference. And that might not be, I mean, as perfectly executed as you want it to. You want to have a team schedule teams from all across their conference. But I think the solution to that is going to be some sort of round-robin scheduling where you're going to try to get one team to play every single team in the conference over possibly a two-year stretch. So there's going to be a little bit of ebb and flow to that, if you will. You're going to have some more difficult years in scheduling, a little bit easier years. But hopefully, when all is said and done, you're going to get relatively equal scheduling across the board.
For me, when it comes to scheduling, I want to see the most changes come in the non-conference. A lot of people have been advocating for shorter non-conference schedules. But
me being one of them.
Yes, I'm of the opinion quite the opposite. I think we need to make non-conference schedules even longer, simply because I think that if you're able to play teams from outside of your conference, you're able to prove your worth a lot more. If you're playing the same teams over and over like your in-conference games, you can't determine really if you are among the best in the nation, simply because you're just beating up on the same teams every year. If you're playing the best from other conferences, that truly proves that you are the best.
The only reason I would like to see shorter conference schedules is for the reason that I just mentioned, where you're going to have conferences with more teams in them, such as the Big Ten, and you're going to want to play as many conference opponents in 1 year as you can in order to prove your worth in your conference and to show that you truly are the conference champion, which in this new system would allow you to be represented in the college football playoff.
Conference committee or playoff committee, I really hope you're taking notes on this, because we just basically gave you the blueprints to how to do
this. Yeah, not to say we're better than you, but we kind of are.
Yeah.
Sticking in college football, I don't want to miss this question because I know you want to answer it.
Of course.
Who do you have as your Heisman winner this year in college football?
So usually when you get into the preseason of college football, it's never clear who's going to win the Heisman, but there's three or four candidates who really stick out. This year, there's just a plethora of guys who could win the Heisman. You've got, like, Trevor Lawrence, Jake Fromm, Tua, you already know Tua, DeAndre Swift, Travis Etienne, all these guys. So any one of those guys could win it. To me, it's going to boil down, actually, to Tua Tagovailoa and maybe a potential Oklahoma transfer once again winning the Heisman in Jalen Hurts. I think that battle would be really fun to see if we could see those two guys going against each other vying for the Heisman Trophy. Personally, I think Tua is going to win it, but regardless of what happens, if that scenario plays out, it's just going to be really interesting.
I think Jalen Hurts is a very interesting take, because we've seen over the last couple of years, we've seen Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, two Oklahoma quarterbacks, Oklahoma transfer quarterbacks at that, winning the Heisman. I think Jalen Hurts has the potential to kind of captain that Oklahoma football team to a better year than they've even had with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray.
He fits perfectly into that scheme.
He fits perfectly into that scheme, that system. But I don't know if I'd go as far as putting him as a Heisman frontrunner. We've seen that he has his restraints. We saw that at Alabama. He has some things that he can't do as a quarterback. So just because of that, I'm not going to quite put him at that top tier. Who I will put winning is Trevor Lawrence.
Oh my gosh.
He is absolutely ridiculous. We saw what he can do last year. There's nothing that man can't do with a football in his hands.
Fabio.
Other than possibly run, because he's kind of white. We're going to move on. We're going to move away from college football. We're going to move back into NBA talk, because the NBA playoffs started today, actually.
Yes.
With our hometown Detroit Pistons just eking into the playoffs, and they'll play the Bucks tomorrow, I believe at 7 p.m.
They'll beat the Bucks tomorrow.
They're going to beat the Bucks. We're tuned in. And if you're listening, Detroit Pistons, I really, really, really need you to win two games in the series, because I bought a ticket to Game 6, and I really want to be there at Little Caesars Arena, because that place will be popping off. Regardless of if the Pistons are up 3-2, down 3-2 in the series, it doesn't matter. It will be an electric atmosphere, so please allow me to be there.
Sorry to break it to you, but they're not making it to a Game 6.
Oh, you be quiet.
They're going to sweep the Bucks by that point.
You be quiet. Well, we're going to talk about the NBA MVP right now, because even though the question was specifically asked and stated, please do not say Giannis is the NBA MVP. The Pistons are playing Giannis. He's an MVP front runner. So I want you to tell me who you have winning your MVP.
We've discussed it before on this podcast. I believe it was the first episode. It depends on whether MVP means most valuable player or the best player in the NBA.
I think what the NBA has done over recent years by giving it to James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and even Steph Curry when he won it back-to-back years, they pretty clearly stated that they want to give it to the person with the best numbers that year. They don't particularly care about your importance to your team, per se. So if you look back historically, they're giving it to the best player on the team every single year. Because if they didn't, and if they just wanted to give it to the guy that was most valuable to their team, LeBron would have won the last 8 MVPs because he has obviously been the most talented player and the player carrying those Cavs teams to all those finals.
That's true. Even so, just best player, it's hard to compare positions, but I'll do my best. I'm going to go with James Harden. I think he's having ridiculous
numbers. Yeah, it has to be James Harden.
I think it does. But if it was to be that the most valuable to a team, it would be Giannis. But since you're saying it's best player, I'll say James Harden.
Yeah, I'm going to say James Harden. He's had a ridiculous year. Everybody knows the big scoring streak that he had. Giannis is very valuable to his team with the Bucks. He's obviously their best player. He's really their only true superstar.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. They have guys like Malcolm Brogdon, a lot of good, solid players. Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, guys like that. Good, solid players that are slightly above role and position players. So they have that going on. But in terms of just the Bucks are a team with one superstar, so he kind of anchors that whole team. But yeah, it's got to be James Harden. I no disagreeing with you from there. I believe we have one question left.
Yes, we do.
One last one. And man, you guys must really love this one guy from Duke because
it's a doozy.
Because he is included also in this question. And the question reads, what seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs will the New York Knicks obtain after acquiring Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion Williamson next season?
Well, there's a lot to unpack in that question. A lot of scenarios that have to play out for that situation to unfold.
I think it's really bizarre that we actually live in a world where this is a complete and actual possibility, because this is the free agency thing is kind of folding itself out right now. And Zion obviously probably, although he hasn't declared yet, he has not declared for the NBA draft yet, but him entering as a sure number one pick, the Knicks have a 14% chance based on the NBA draft lottery to obtain that number one overall pick. So this is just an insane world that we live in where this is a possibility.
Yeah, and Kyrie has stated that he might want to leave the Celtics. So
yeah, what is that?
I don't know what that is.
Why would you want to leave a storied franchise like the Celtics to go to just a complete dumpster fire?
Hey, they're a storied franchise. They just suck.
Yeah, they're storied for the complete wrong reason.
So I could see Kyrie going to the Knicks next year, and obviously I could see Zion going there, but I do not see KD leaving and going to the Knicks. I know everyone called him a snake because he left and went to the Warriors, but the reason he went to go to the Warriors is to win championships. And if he wants to win championships, the place to do that is not in New York. So I don't see him going there. I think he's going to stick with Golden State. But if that were to play out and those three players were to go to the Knicks, I'm still going to put the Knicks at around a 4 seed. Simply because I don't think those players would mesh very well together.
I would give him a 2 or a 3, but like you said, this is kind of a crazy question just because Kevin Durant, a lot of people, I personally think he's going to leave just because of the Draymond thing. Everybody saw what Steph Curry said about his all-time greats list, didn't include Kevin Durant. I pretty much see Kevin Durant, with being as sensitive as he is, kind of having one foot out the door at that point already. So I'm going to say Kevin Durant's going to leave. Kyrie definitely sounds like he's going to leave. Zion would be a fool not to declare for the draft. So if all of these things kind of came together, I'd put them at a 2 or a 3 easily in the East. That's a lot of talent to have on one team, not to do enough in the regular season to get a 2 or 3 seed.
True, but you have 3 All-Stars on your team then, but then who's your...
Whoa. Back up.
Potential All-Stars.
Zion Williamson an All-Star?
A potential All-Star. We'll say that.
I'm not going to let that one.
Regardless, you have 3 very good players on your team, but who are your role players? What's your depth looking like? Who's coming off your bench? The Knicks don't have anyone really right now, so those 3 players, I don't think you can win a championship with just 3 players.
I disagree.
Well, I guess we'll have to see from this next coming season if that plays out.
That we will. We're also going to see how the Masters play out tomorrow, Sunday. We're going to see how our Pistons fare tomorrow. We're going to see a lot of things coming up in the coming days, and we're going to see a lot of things before we record the next episode of this, the Trial Run Podcast.
God bless.